It is now 7 o'clock. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette.
Present.
Co-Chair Lennon.
Here.
Commissioner Veazey. Commissioner Haley. Commissioner Mezzatesta.
Here.
Commissioner Cadlick.
Here.
Commissioner Avalos.
Here.
Student Commissioner Steerwalt.
Here.
All right, we have six voting members present. We do have a quorum. First item of business is public comment. I know we have one individual here, but we have sort of a set agenda item a little bit later. So moving on to adoption of the meeting minutes. Any typos or corrections or... In that case, do we have a motion? All right. Commissioner Mezzatesta, do we have a second?
Second.
Right. Commissioner Avalos. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Veazey?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. 6-0. Meeting minutes are adopted. Moving on to commissioner updates. Anybody have anything to share?
I guess I'll go if no one else has anything. Sadly, I don't think they're from Oak Park and not from River Forest, but COP 29 started, which I'm sure you all are familiar with, but if you're not, it's basically run by the United Nations. This year it's in Baku. Every year they choose a different country.
Azerbaijan, right?
What?
Azerbaijan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Azerbaijan.
Oh, you said the city.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. I on a first name basis, I guess, with it. And so 5 Chicago area high school students, 2 OPRF high school students, Poppy Booth and Elora Chloe will be going there on, or are there, as well as the superintendent of the high school. I just chatted because I was over there. He left earlier this morning, and they're all going to participate in a panel discussion, what they have learned on Thursday at 10 o'clock. It's virtually. I think I sent you all the link, but if you don't want to be siloed in your computer, we're also hosting it at Triton College's library, which is in the A building.
Nice. And Manolo, you went how many years ago?
I went to COP 26 in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, which was
two
years ago. Yes, that's right. Hard to keep track. I wish I didn't have these many.
Well, I can give you a couple of things. The three of us all had a virtual meeting with the director of the River Forest Library to talk about possible programs there. And we had a really good discussion. We talked about, I sent her my deck with my presentation. I've done it a couple of times. As being one thing we could do, you know, public meeting in the community room kind of thing. We talked about maybe book displays of sustainable related topics, you know, like they'll do special one topic book displays down on the first floor, doing something like that. We talked about something to get young folks involved. Also possibly having the environmental club at the high school involved in a, you know, in a presentation or a talk group or something, you know, mm-hmm. what do they call them? Not community.
Community chat, like kind of.
Yeah, yeah. The cafe society, I think, is a term I heard used a few years back, you know, where you get together and have discussions on topics and stuff. So she was very enthusiastic and responsive to the ideas. She's going to reach out and talk to, and we talked about connecting it up, like maybe to Earth Day next year and looking at other sustainable related days of the year, because there's other days that we could do things. But basically talking about probably next year, because now we're into the holiday season and all the rest of that stuff. She was going to talk with the various librarians over the different areas to see. Maybe, you know, sometimes you see projects when you go to the library, like there's little hands on the wall or little pictures or something. You know, maybe some kind of a crafts project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking maybe out of recyclable, you know, recycling materials into an art project kind of a thing. So good discussion. We'll be continuing that over time.
Good.
Good.
Anyone else? All right. So moving on to the next item of business, we wanted to set aside some time in the agenda to talk about some of the Triton College sustainability efforts. Ben had presented this to the Planet Green Commission, was it a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, that Susan and I were both on, and Susan had asked that we share this for all of you. And then Manolo, I know you wanted to talk about some of the Sustainability Club and some of the things that you wanted to plug as well and have
That word says Trinity?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I? Oh, I'm hoping that was just an autocorrect and I didn't mistype it. But yes, Triton College. Yes. So give me 1 second to share my screen here. And then Ben, just let me know to change slides. There we go. All right.
Great. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's like, I think I mentioned it when I first came here, but I'm the sustainability coordinator for Triton College in River Grove, our local community college. I work out of the facilities department there. So this presentation is just kind of to highlight a few of the different, you know, initiatives or things that we've done recently. And also I tried to focus it on maybe things that we could think about, you know, for the village here as well. So the first thing I wanted to mention is that Triton College is a part of the Illinois Green Economy Network, which is a partnership between the community colleges in Illinois to help receive, you know, grant funds, opportunities for collaboration. They have an annual conference, which I went to last year, which was great to, you know, share knowledge and, you know, collaborate with other sustainability officers or workers across the states. And they also, have, you know, monthly meetings. They have, you know, many different grants, you know, opportunities to help fund a lot of things. Recently, we've had help from iGen funding the EV chargers, which we have on campus, which I think I'll talk about maybe in the next slide. And also our renewable energy technology program, which, you know, I think was money maybe from CJ even. You know, students in that program are working towards jobs in the, you know, green industry and solar and wind and those kind of things. So a lot of the money for those programs has come from this collaboration with iGen, and we are a lead member. It's a great network for sharing knowledge and then also how we are able to do a lot of the things we do. All right. Yeah. So the EV charging stations we have on campus, we have 5 different charging stations spread out around the campus. They're all dual port. And 4 of them are the one you see up here. I think it's the CT4000 model. So dual charging ports. We try to have them. They're all kind of in a location where they offer priority parking as another incentive to, you know, bring your EV to campus. And they're there's a discount rate available for students and faculty, like through a discount code. And the rate for charging is 12 cents per kilowatt hour.
Is that a competitive rate? I just have no idea.
It's, from what I could tell, is like slightly below where we even, I think, had it at one point where they were like free to charge. We don't actually, I think, profit really from the charging. It's more so as a incentive for people to come use the chargers on campus. I see them used all the time, and especially those, you know, who work at the college and like commute every day. I'm like myself, actually, like, you know, those chargers are there as a great community resource. And I get a lot of people reaching out like for that discount code and to use them. And they get a lot of use, but yeah, we don't really profit from them. They're at a, yeah, pretty low rate, I would say. Yeah. So the next thing is
can they just park there, or this charging only? Cause a student comes in at 8 and leaves at 4, or professor, is that?
It's for charging only. We haven't had a lot of issue with people just like parking and not charging. Obviously, that is a like an issue we've talked about, where you like park your car there all day. It's probably at 100% by like noon or something like that. And so we discussed, you know, like setting limits or doing an additional charge for, okay, if you've been charging for more than 4 hours, you have to pay like an extra fee for something like that. So we haven't, you know, implemented anything like that, but that is something we've are probably going to continue to think about as, you know, the chargers have gotten more and more use over time, and they are like, you know, pretty frequently used throughout the day to the point where that something like that might be useful for making sure everyone can access them. Yeah. Yeah. So the next thing is the Triton College Reuse It Room. This is basically like Goodwill, but it's free, and it's just office and school supplies. So, you know, it's great for when people are, you know, maybe moving out of their office at Triton, or they just finished up school. And so they can come here and donate a variety of things like binders, folders, paper, pencils, pens, like everything you find on your desk. We try to take a variety of different items that are in good condition, and then anybody can come in and just sign out the items that they take. So it's designed to extend the lifespan of these items and reduced waste, keep these all the items shown, you know, out of the landfill.
Do you accept things from the community?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't deny someone from the community. If you want to come bring some stuff, that'd be excellent.
You're not really advertising, but
we don't advertise to the community, because it's more so, yeah, designed for like, you know, students and staff.
Yeah, bring all
yeah,
the
yeah,
stuff.
Just rate it. But. Yeah, but I mean, it's open all days of the week whenever the college is open. It's located in the J building. Yeah. The next thing I want to talk about is an LED lighting upgrade that we did at the college. So this is a few years ago back, actually, but it was something that drastically reduced like the energy bill for these lights, and also just like way more efficient. So all the outdoor lights that we have on campus, like over the parking lots now and everything, they're all LEDs. That's also helped reduce the light pollution on campus, because it's more concentrated light as opposed to just these like blaring big lights. And we're kind of in the process of hopefully next year upgrading some of the like indoor lights to increase the energy efficiency as well. So the bioswales that we have on campus, for those who don't know, a bioswale is basically a depressed area in the ground. It could be just, you know, kind of dirt or grass, but it's there to absorb the runoff from stormwater or rain when those events happen. It's especially important for the Triton campus because we're surrounded by a lot of parking lots. It's a commuter campus, so we have a lot of people come in, you know, by car every day, and we have to have large parking lots as a result. And so having these bioswales, as you see, like we did like that, the picture on the left, the parking lot was redone. And so we added these bioswales directly in the parking lot to help absorb some of that water. So it's not just, you know, pooling everywhere in the parking lot, and it's more, you know, natural, cost effective way to reduce storm runoff. The one on the right is kind of through the center of campus. That was also done this past summer. And, you know, it's filled with native plants. It's aesthetically pleasing and serves a great functional use as well. And speaking of storm runoff, we have a the way we manage the stormwater on campus is through the Opti Stormwater Management tool. So this is a web-based, like, remote dashboard where the company, you know, manages remotely the stormwater coming through campus, so we're better able to predict, you know, it can integrate, like, you know, weather predictions and help manage the, you know, sewer and stormwater that we get on campus to prevent, you know, backups and, you know, in really serious conditions, flooding as well.
So there's a, it looks like there's a holding tank.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have a holding tank, and then the system is able to, you know, it can read the levels at all times where it's at and make quick responses to, you know, fast changes in the water level and, you know, get some of it out of there if it's going to overflow. And so it's, yeah, it's meant to be an adaptive system to better control water.
So is it automatic or is somebody monitoring it?
Somebody's monitoring it, but it's automated in some ways. Like all the, like, monitoring is done kind of like automatically. And like some of the changes I think are automatic to my knowledge. But
so they've kind of got a dashboard they're watching?
Yeah, yeah. But it is kind of a dashboard that they're watching. And they'll let us know, like, if something's wrong, or they can see, like, if there's any issues with the system, then they let us know.
Do you know what year this was installed?
It was a few years back, to my knowledge. I don't know the exact year, but I know it's not within the past, like, 2 years.
Yeah, cool.
Next is composting. So currently, the only place that we compost on campus is in the HIA lab run by Manny. Yeah, so we have, you know, lots of students cooking and making things every day. And we have a compost bin there. And then we have like 10 food scrap totes outside, which is through our waste collector, Flood Brothers. So we collect all the food waste and, you know, food scraps from the lab, and then it's collected by Flood Brothers. We're hoping, and I think this is something, like, you know, these guys can touch on as well, to expand the compost program. There's been some limitations to that. But yeah, currently it's just been in the HIA lab, but it's been really successful, you know, on a small scale there. And they're obviously the ones who are probably producing the most food waste in terms of, like, a department of the college. So they've really, you know, appreciated having that. And yeah, it's been good so far. Yep. Oh yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah,
that'd be good. I can send you, like, other things that might not be on here too, or try to include them. Yeah, absolutely. So the next thing is some certifications or awards that the college has. We are a certified Tree Campus USA and also B Campus since 2019. I think Tree Campus is since 2016. And so both of these awards, I know River Forest is a tree village, and the requirements to be a tree campus, I think, are somewhat similar. You know, we have a plan for tree care and, you know, do an annual Arbor Day celebration, which we actually did due to the cicadas that we had this summer. We delayed it until this fall for planting a new tree, but we planted a new swamp white oak in the center of campus, which was great. And yeah, basically the requirements for the tree campus are having a committee, having a tree care plan, and, you know, having a celebration throughout the year. For B campus, it's pretty similar, doing events to advocate and raise awareness for pollinators. I'll touch on some stuff we've done for that a little bit in the next slide.
Are there bees on campus?
Oh yeah. 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 We got bees. Yeah.
No, I mean like you have beekeeping.
Oh no, sorry. No, yeah. Not like organized bees campus. I see bees all over, but not yeah. Wild bees. They're loose. Yeah. No domesticated bees. Yeah. Yeah, so we have a botanical garden on campus, the Triton Botanical Gardens, and our prairie garden, which is the lower left image, is the prairie garden. Those are both certified monarch waste stations. So, you know, places that we have plants like milkweed and other native plants that are essential for pollinators, you know, specifically butterflies and monarchs, you know, for the milkweed. And so these areas, are designated as pollinator habitats and allow us to have that certification as monarch way stations. And then also I wanted to mention, we did a project recently to document all the milkweed that we have on campus using the iNaturalist app. If any of you are familiar with that, it's basically you take a picture of a plant or an animal, and then you can upload it to a whole cloud. So all the red dots that you see here on the map of Triton College are milkweed plants that were observed by students. So I worked with an introduction to biology class to do this. And they observed 109 different milkweed plants around campus. We kind of have it all over. A lot of it is in the botanical garden, but also some of it is in the mini bioswales that we have in the parking lots. And then definitely the other like kind of big cluster is the prairie garden, which has a lot of milkweed as well.
And who on campus actually plans and manages all that? Because it's not just any milkweed, right? You got to have certain...
Yeah, so that's something that we found through the survey is pretty much all of it was like the common milkweed. I think swamp milkweed is the same, right? So,
No, it's not the same. Those are the two that we mostly find, but common's...
We were seeing common milkweed mostly. So I think trying to expand that. And the main idea with the project too is to kind of, document where it is and maybe see how that changes over time. And then also see what different species milkweed we could possibly add. So this is the Greater Maywood Paddling Program. Is a kayak program which is sponsored by the Forest Preserve District of Cook County. It's a program where any organization kind of in the Greater Maywood area can send two representatives to get trained. And then once you receive the certification from the training, you can take your organization out on the Des Plaines River for a kayak trip. So me and a colleague did this and we got certified to lead these trips. We did two trips this past fall. One was for students, one was for faculty and staff. That photo is from the faculty and staff trip. And I have the route like on the right here that we took down the Des Plaines River. It's a few miles from we started at Schutz Grove and then went a few miles down the river, kind of past the Brookfield Zoo to the Plank Road Meadow Boat Launch. And so this has been a great opportunity to, the program being sponsored by the Forest Preserve. They provide all the supplies, all the kayaks and everything, which we would never be able to have the funds or get access to. And it's just been really great to give people the opportunity to do something that they normally never would be able to kayak down the Des Plaines River. Being out in nature and appreciating the space. And we do some, mindfulness activities as well while we're out there. And so we're hoping to continue that this spring and beyond. But the first trips that we did were this past fall. All right. And then this is the last slide I have. So we actually did one of these today. Actually, it was our last one of the year. But trying to implement, monthly trash cleanups for Triton Woods, which is kind of an extension of Fullerton Woods. For those who are familiar, it's right kind of in between Fifth Ave and First Ave. So right next to the college there. And we take a, varying group of students, faculty, staff, whoever's willing to help out. It's a community event, so it's open to anybody. And again, all the supplies are provided by the Forest Preserve District, which is great. We just pick up as much trash as we can find. There's a lot that I think comes from the roadway right there on Fifth Ave. So there's always more to pick up, but it's another opportunity to kind of, practice some care for the earth and the natural spaces that we have right next to campus. So that was all I had for the slideshow. If anyone has any other additional questions, otherwise I'll hand it over for the Triton Environmental Club, which is the most exciting thing I would say we have going on.
Are there any questions for Ben? Otherwise, though,
I don't have any questions, but I just think it's really impressive everything that you're doing and inspiring and what we need to hear.
Thank you. Thanks.
The question I would have, Ben, is with the stuff you're doing there, and you've been here for what, since August or whatever, what types of things that you think you put in place there would be things you'd want to consider adopting here?
Yeah, I think definitely making the slideshow is really helpful for that. And I think, B Campus is a certification. They also have B City. So from my knowledge, I didn't see River Forest was, that yet, but I think that's could certainly be an attainable thing. And I can look more into if that's something that we want to move forward with as a, committee, I can look into the requirements for that. But I certainly think it would be a doable thing for all the stuff that the village has already. And then also, I think just, a lot of my work is doing community events, trying to get people out to do, either, advocacy work or exposing them to different sustainability topics, kind of doing in-person hands-on things to inspire people to be interested in sustainability and take action. And so I think, I was really excited to meet, with the head of the library, the other week and to think about other things that we can do in the community. I think the library will be a great kind of starting point to do because you do a variety of different events. The other thing that we had discussed in the meeting was doing like reading lists to show, like a history of environmentalism over time, or you can have, different kinds of authors, like non-traditional environmentalists, maybe like providing some different reading lists for the library would be something we could do. And then also, there's a variety of hands-on like crafts related to sustainability we could do with kids. But yeah, I think that's something, I'll try to continue to think about moving forward because I know some of these programs might not be possible to directly bring to the village, but something similar certainly I think would be nice.
The other point about the library is it would be great to tie that into the Go Green at Roosevelt because they're right across the street and a lot of those kids just come over anyway, so that you sort of have a set audience, and I think they would be really excited to work with you on that.
I think those are all good. In fact, incidentally, the two notes I made right away were like a B City, even if they didn't have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Monarch Way Station kinds of things. So
yeah, that would be
the type of thing I'd ask you to maybe put some thought around as to how we could do that, here as well. I mean, mm-hmm. I heard some complaints the other day on our, rain runoff places, like on the bioswales or whatever. And, are those natural places to do that type of thing. So how could we start to move those things into the community? The other thing you said that I didn't know, I thought was really good, is the community events. And so it instantly popped in my mind, we have a number of things that go on here. Like, and there's this, the one in June or whatever, where they have, the things for the kids in the park and all that. You've got the parades and you've got other planned events, the recycling day for electronics. Used to have it. I don't know if they still do so much. But tying some of these kinds of things like this into those types of events is like a natural thing to do because you already got people coming out. They're coming out to do things. Sometimes maybe just to grab a hot dog, but still, you can come out and maybe coordinate some of those. So I'd ask you maybe give some of your thoughts to that as well.
Well, I attended an event. It's been a few years because we were in our house. It's probably been 6-7 years. And it was up at the woods. I'm trying to remember which exactly where. And it was all related to monarchs.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave you milkweed bombs mm-hmm. and showed you how to make them. So it's basically like a clump of dirt and compost, mm-hmm. Something rich, and you put the seeds in it, toss it in your yard someplace, and, and they had all sorts of things, educational things there. Yeah. They had handouts about things you can plant and all the rest of that.
Trailside does that every year. That's
one
of their big events. It's up at the pavilion.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Great but event. We could certainly do more to advertise it too.
Yeah. Good job.
I think to your point, Gary, as well, with like stuff that's already going on, I think, like they have the kind of like zero waste block parties, but if we could even expand that to other community events that are already happening to make right. them towards zero waste, or to just have a station where, I see like, I forget what the name of it is, but like, in Oak Park where, on Lake Street where, it's a Tuesday or Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Sorry. I've been like once, but, they have, people there to tell you where the, you know, if something goes in the trash or the recycling or something like that. So I think that could be another seamless opportunity to kind of work into things that are already going on in the village.
Yeah, because the more you can educate, and you educate a lot, not just by reading, but by doing, you know, probably, that's probably more powerful, like you're talking with the planting those seeds, you know, type of thing. It's just more powerful.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Those are paid, though. I've done those. I don't know. I mean, maybe it makes an impact. I'm skeptical, though. Thursday night out, I wish it was all the time, though. My favorite time. Were there any other comments? I would just say, I think partnering and, like, strengthening that partnership, maybe the village promoting these, like, cleanups in the woods, because, like, the only time, and I feel like this is what the environmental club, sorry, am I getting into it too fast? Did anyone have anything before I go on a tangent?
You're on.
Okay. So, like, I think me, Ben, and Eva are a part of the Greener Our Campuses Committee at Triton. And it's sad to hear. You might not want to hear it, Ben, but, like, I've only heard about these kayaking events that they do and these cleanups that they do through there, and I'm not sure if how it gets promoted, or, like, if the one teacher gets somehow her whole class to go, but I feel like that's something the environmental club could help with in, like, spreading the word of what we're doing. But I don't really know what else to say, because we just got approved today after a long process. It's long. But you started
a big day at Triton today.
Yeah, congrats, y'all. That's awesome.
Yeah. But you should go for it if you want to start a club or anything. It's worth it.
How many members you have signed up right now?
So right now, or look in the...
Okay.
But
it's a good start.
There's more in the group me I'm looking now. Because I count those too. And we're going to meet on Mondays at 3 o'clock. And I think... I don't know what I'm 14. I don't know what I'm saying. But if you've ever been to the hydroponics lab, what is it called? Where we meet for horticulture club, the horticulture lab. Yeah, and it's just like this cool meeting room with a bunch of plants, and it's also our meeting room. So, yeah, it's a green room, and it's, yeah.
Bring us
a Yeah, I will. Eva, do you want it? Because I'm kind of losing my thinking. She's the actual president. Do you want to say
anything? Yeah, if you want to head up to the microphone there, just make sure.
It has to be green.
Actually, the public speaker
one. Yeah.
Hit the button. Yep, there's a...
Yeah. Okay.
I've been drawing milk. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I touched it. Okay. So, hi, I'm Eva. I'm president of the Environmental Club officially. Yay. Yes. So I don't really know what we're doing. Manolo and I were going to figure that out, like, after this meeting. Manolo's vice president. So right now we're kind of loosely basing our structure based off of Purdue's Environmental Club, because my brother's on that and he was vice president of that. So and we're gonna try and do, like, a short presentation at the beginning of the club, and then kind of work on community building within the club and then kind of see what students are interested in. But right now, our starting project's going to be trying to do like a Triton thrift store, because I think that would be super cool because people like fashion and stuff like that. And what else are we doing?
And also, I brought up the idea, I don't know if this is official yet, also come to us or just make comments afterwards if you have any ideas, because we're always open. But like doing trivia week, of like some trivia that happened. I know, yeah, green trivia. Yeah.
Do you follow Future Earth on Instagram?
Future Earth, probably.
Because every week they have like 9 or 10 things of like events around the world that happen. So that could be good for your trivia, and also just like just a way to get that message out. And I think to keep up spirits about what's being done, just in case they slow down in the United States.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're also, so that thrift store would be a thing to promote once it starts. I feel like we could potentially have a drop-off location here, question mark. I would all close Triton. But, yeah, did you want to say anything else?
Yeah, so okay. We're like, connected with the Horticulture Club. So, and the Horticulture Club is really partnering with environmental clubs, so we're also going to start some projects through there. I was also thinking about I contacted architecture and design club to see if we could do landscaping on campus, and but I want to contact Black Student Union and like the Latin American clubs and see if we can like talk about like environmental racism and stuff like that. So I thought that would be cool. I don't know if there's anything else to say about that.
Sounds like a good start.
But yeah, talk to us, because I want to get really cool things done on campus. If you have any advice, I'd be so happy to talk to you. Like, it would make my entire life. So yes, I am Eva Carson, and I'm signing off unless you have any questions.
I just have one suggestion for the first time this year, they did a native plant sale at Roosevelt, and there's a local resident, David Hoyt, who we've worked with before in the Sustainability Commission. And he lives right on Lathrop between, I believe, Augusta and Thomas. And he's converted his front yard to a prairie. And so he harvests all of these seeds. Do you know David Hoyt? Have you met him? He's actually a good friend of Ben's father.
I've been over there, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And so if, you know, given your collaboration with the Horticulture Club, I'm sure he would provide, you know, seeds for you if this was something that you wanted to do. And it was just a very low cost way to get a lot of native plants out, you know, into either the campus itself or, you know, I don't know what situations the students have, but it was a very cool event. And, you know,
or just like a tour.
He lives on Lathrop between Augusta and Thomas on the east side of the street. And if you drive by, you'll see his prairie. He's very into it and extremely knowledgeable. So yeah.
I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, I can get you connected with him. And I think, yeah, that could be an exciting opportunity to do something similar, to either hand out native seeds to the campus or see, you know, where we could plant some more stuff.
Well, so what he actually did was, it wasn't seeds. He that's what I thought. If they collaborated with the Horticulture Club, he actually planted them.
Okay.
So you could do sort of a, you know, like collect collect the pots. And I don't know if you get, do you get compost back from Flood Brothers?
No.
But so it was a very, very cool, and then he made them available at a, you know, very affordable amount, and it's just a nice way to get a lot of native plants planted.
Cool.
Interesting.
Good luck. Thank you.
Thanks. Speaking of compost, I forgot to mention this in my announcement and updates, sorry, but I just want to sidetrack, and maybe we can circle back on this. But me and I forgot who it was, but we were talking when we left last meeting, about how I believe it was former Commissioner Mueller. She made a little sign, and it has the like five shared composting bins, I think, or however many out there out on behind the plants, like down there.
Actually, it's in the front now. If you go out the door and look to the left, it's right in the front now.
Yeah, it's in the front, but the sign should be more like it's on the side. It should be more. Oh, was I talking to you about this? Yeah, it should be like, right next to the bins, and the bins may be more up close, so they're more visible. We'll take a little trip.
Yeah, they're kind of tucked in there.
Two of the bins are temporarily being used for yard sign recycling. They were actually just filled up as of this morning and then emptied this afternoon. People are using them. At least there have been a couple rounds of at least two bulk drop-offs based on the types of signs, but I think a few people here and there have also used them. And then with that, moving on, wanted to also set aside some time on the agenda to talk about the LRS tour. Jamie had emailed me right around 5 o'clock that she was unable to attend tonight, but she did send along some pictures that I will also try to share here.
I have to say, that was great.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Well, it was a fun road trip getting there.
We all went together, so yeah. That was good.
But that was a wonderful experience. It was really.
We also shared it with, I think, grad students from Loyola who were studying sustainability, which was really good because I think we asked like very like hands-on questions and they asked more like theoretical stuff. But you're looking at the machinery. And I guess if I walked away with any, like my biggest overtake was that we're talking about large items, like, you know, anything that's really tiny, as you can see, these machines are huge. They're going to just fall through the bins. And so anything you can do to like bundle things, like one specific little thing is, you know, like leave the tops on bottles. I know a lot of people have, you know, bottles, everything like fruit juice, things, everything, because and what you're looking at now is an AI sorter, which what it's going
cans.
Yeah, it's picking out cans because that is their cash crop. They make $40,000 a week on the aluminum. Infinitely recyclable and by far the most.
Well, what I found really interesting was the combination of techniques. There's people, and not as many as you'd think. There's a lot of automation. Some of it was optical. There was AI. And
that's
then
us. Wait, go back down. That's us. That's us. We had to wear these groovy outfits.
And then there was purely mechanical. So every kind of physical type of gadget, every kind of technology was employed to do this. Yeah.
And I'd also just like to throw out a statistic to counter a very misleading statistic that we often hear. So we hear that 6% of plastic is recycled, but that's largely due to people on our side not recycling. For the material, we're not talking about just plastic, but for the material that makes it to this waste station, 80% is recycled or, you know, sent out to other things. So I just think we should help to stop that, you know, sort of misinformation campaign. It's people giving up that make that number so low, you know, and if we are vigilant about including what is recyclable, not being too aspirational, like when you look at something, if you have to ask yourself for more than a minute, is this recyclable? It probably isn't, you know what I mean? So don't err in that direction because it's just clogging up their system here. And, yeah. And I think, I mean, we can talk about this. I was hoping Jamie would be here, but I think we need to have a product come out of this where we explain what we learned. And also, I don't know if she sent you the link, but there's a website that we can go to that has a lot of the information that we watched a little video on it. But it was a very impressive operation. And I think quelled a lot of my preconceptions about like, yeah, we're not really doing anything. And the other thing to keep in mind at this station is really what this is a sorting station, not a recycling station. And it's just going to go on, you know, it's going to go on from here to other places. And yeah, so I think, you know, unfortunately, I think the campaign to educate people on one is what is recyclable is just it's infinity. You know, like we got all kinds of feedback on our community survey that they don't know what to recycle. It's like because you don't read the newsletters and you didn't see the flyer. So I mean, it just will never end. But I think if we can through our circles exert a little more optimism on this whole cycle, and I'm not saying like yeah gung ho go use plastic. No, I mean do everything you can not to use plastic, but for what remains, you know.
Well, I thought that the staff there, they were all very enthusiastic. Excellent. You know, they did an excellent job with the tour. And I thought sort of the value add was the Loyola students, their professor. She was really interesting. And apparently she's kind of gotten around the country and she's gone on these tours before. She probably could have conducted it, you know. And so she made some comments and kind of directed some questions and things. And she was a real value add to the process, I thought. But And it was great to see the students who were, you know, they asked good questions. They were enthusiastic as well. It kind of, you know, people that are doomsayers about the future, you go do something like that and it really boosts your spirits. I know that's funny to say about garbage, but, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It was really cool. Maybe probably best field trip ever. But I signed the permission slip, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did have to sign.
The one takeaway is, I think you said Jamie had it, or you had the takeaway was that we need to like use all this footage and pictures that we got. I have some more pictures. Maybe create like a Google folder, add on to this, and then like make a video that can then go on River Forest socials, the journal, just.
Well, let's get maybe more stuff in the awareness. Newsletter too.
Maybe
we can, maybe the long topic, you know, for the month, I don't know, but talk about our trip, maybe use that as a way to get the kind of statistics you're talking about, Susan, in there. Cause I do think people are, you know, their excuse will be, well, you know, I've heard that they throw it away and this, that, the other.
No, we saw the evidence. We saw the receipts.
Right there. See all those bundles?
I would also add, it was very smelly. It was very dusty.
Could you share a little bit more about, like, the sorting process? Because I saw, like, the AI machine taking the cans, but for all the rest of the recycling, how does that look?
Can you roll it back up to the top and we'll, so there were several, you know, it was a real tour. Like we went out, we couldn't really talk because it was very loud, but we went out on like a, sort of like a, I don't know, gangplank. And there were several ones. So, and then, and I think you can see some of the operators there, but you know, some of them were, they were separating like big cardboard, it was just all kinds of things. They were, if you keep running it, Seth, they were things that were like, like this one, like they were rolling. And so everything is just sorting it because the objective of this site is to put all the plastic together, to put all the cardboard together, to put all, you know, it's, they're sorting. I don't know how else to say that. And yeah. And then if you go, yeah, like that, like, so some of it is blowing it, some is rolling, but everything's, they're very large, and you know, every, you know, little tiny thing is going to be falling through and probably not being recycled. And then if you scroll back down to the end that had the pictures of us, that's sort of the, like the end results are, you know, this is everything all baled up, and then that's going to be going off to different, you know, to different centers, which hopefully will be recycled, everything that has a market.
The cool. Yeah.
Well, just like the, yeah, just like the trucks dumping them in there.
The cool thing was that if I think I recall this correctly, let me know if I don't, but there's like an aluminum, whole aluminum bail section, and then a whole cardboard section.
Yep.
They filled these bales. They didn't just fill them willy-nilly. They actually sorted and tried to figure out which goes where.
Yep.
Was the input there is recycling, like what we put in the bins here. It's not like a mix. They don't take like garbage and recycle the recycling.
No, just
sorting the recycling.
I mean, the only garbage that's in there is the, you know, the aspirational recycling, which is not.
Yeah.
Really, or, you know, like food. Yeah, food waste, which, you know, anything with food on it. I mean, if it's compost it, but otherwise.
No pizza
boxes. Mm-hmm. No pizza boxes.
Starbucks cups.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, it was an uplifting. It's an uplifting trip.
It sounds funny to say, but
yeah, it's nice that they, sorry I couldn't come. It's nice that they were willing to host.
And we also talked to our rep, and she said that she had passed along to you a price for or cost for opt out.
Yes.
Can you share that with us?
So if the village were to move to opt out composting, it would be $12 a month additional for everyone, even if you do opt out. Yes. And then they would want a 3-year extension to the contract. And then they would shift from the 3 sizes to just a universal 64-gallon cart. People who have the 35 and the 95 can keep them and be sort of grandfathered in, and everyone still pays that flat rate. But if they were to request a change or need a new cart, the new cart would be the 65.
Did they address sharing? Would sharing still be allowed?
They did not specifically address sharing with that. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I had.
Yeah, I mean, those are refining questions. Yeah. Okay, so I guess that today was just to get the information, but I guess at some point we have to talk about.
Yeah, and I had relayed that back to Matt to sort of, I guess, temperature gauge the village board, because if they were how the contract works is if a majority of them give the thumbs up, then we would finalize that contract.
Well, I know I forgot. Do you remember what her name is? Our rep?
Katie.
So one thing Katie kept emphasizing is, you know, we'd have to purchase another truck or extra trucks, and we, you know, employing other people. And I just wondered, again, not to be discussed, but just punting it out as an idea, if this is something that we negotiated with Oak Park, if we could get, you know, any better, because it would be a natural to come out and collect from both villages.
Yeah. And my understanding with my conversation with Katie is that I guess we need the River Forest specifically needs the backloading trucks rather than the like front bucket with the arm that goes off to the side. And it's largely due to our tree canopy coverage and really, you know, limited number of alleys. We're in Oak Park. I mean, it's all alleys. Basically, I mean, there's probably 10 blocks in the entire community that are curbside of the driveway because they don't have an alley. But yeah, I mean, mine, it's the big front loading truck. I see like the arm go out and grab my container, dump it in, and then flip it over the back. And I guess at least I'm told that those don't really work here, or would cause issues here. I didn't get too far into questioning everything and wanting all the details, but that's what I was told.
I don't know if it's worth something to question, because to your point, I feel like it would free up people and a truck if they just all came on one day and did both.
Okay. Well, I think this is something that we're working towards, so I think we should put in our just a matter of time bucket.
Yes.
But, I guess, you know, maybe further conversations about it. Because, unlike on like the trash and recycling pickup where they have to walk down the driveways. It seems like this is something that this would be on the street.
Yeah. I mean, since compost has been introduced, it's been curbside collection.
Yep.
So yeah, that would
presumably
remain the case regardless of how large it expanded and whether it was opt in or opt out.
And if there are any options, like, you know, that it wasn't year round or, you know, something like that. But yeah, so I think we have to put our heads together.
And I do know, just in my research, there are a few communities that they do have collection, but it's not year round. It's some of the sort of further out more exurban communities where you just get a yard waste cart basically included in it. And they have provisions like if you need food scraps picked up in the winter, you have to call, I think it was like Flood Brothers was the one who did it them directly and get them to have a truck come out to pick up your winter compost. And
seems wasteful.
Yeah.
Is there any thought about socializing this idea to the public? The only reason I mention that is I'm thinking about what's going on over in Oak Park with the darn leaf pickup and you know, the way that was handled. And I'm not saying that people would be any more enthusiastic if it had been handled differently, but they handled it really badly.
Did they stop it this year?
No. Yes, you have to use the bags.
Yeah.
They, you know, like, with no real lead time and no, now there's things that you're going to do that people aren't going to like, but you're going to need to do anyway. I get that. But that's all the more reason why, you know, you've got to socialize it in a way to try and minimize the amount of.
What would be an example of how you socialize this?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I think.
I mean, instead of us just deciding in here, we.
Well, yeah. And then, you know, the trustees pass it and then you foist it off on people.
Yeah.
And like the gas leaf blowers and stuff. I mean, there's a way to do this. Because, you know, well, in this case, I don't know what civil disobedience would look like, because if you're going to pay for it, you might as well use it. And if you don't, well, you're paying for it anyway. Whereas the leaf thing, there's people over there that are toss them in the streets anyway, you know, talk about civil disobedience. So just a thought. Let's factor in a marketing plan, if you will.
Like I'm wondering, it's not just social media, but maybe listening sessions. Like I know Administrator Walsh, I believe, in the community have held like four the dialogue session. Yeah. I wonder if that's something the commission just does, or like, because I'm trying to think of ways to socialize it, but that's the only way.
Well, I mean, even, you know, newsletters and.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I'm just saying. You don't spring it on people all of a sudden and you explain why you're doing it. And a lot of people still aren't going to be happy, but, you know, there's a way to do it.
Okay.
I did include the quarterly waste reports. Just like everything there is pretty spelled out. The one thing I did slightly tweak the quarterly metrics to do by season rather than like Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. And there does seem to be at least a little bit of a correlation between organics disposal going up and waste disposal going down. I don't know how much of an impact and if that just happens to be coincidental, but I'll continue to just sort of include that in these quarterly reports going forward. One thing, if I may just skip ahead to communications while we're on this topic. I know we've got most everything queued up for the next month and a half or so. I do have set to run this week promoting the compost and the compost sharing. And how I had worded it was basically seasonal yard waste ends in a few weeks. If you want to continue to compost your yard waste and also food scraps, you can sign up. You can even share with a neighbor for as low as $670 a month if you share the smallest cart with one of your neighbors. So that'll run this week. And then I didn't.
But winter goes to bi-weekly, right?
Yeah, bi-weekly.
Yeah, doesn't stop.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's yeah. So there'll be pickup the first Tuesday in December, and then yard waste pickup as well, and then compost pickup will be the next compost pickup will be 2 weeks from then. So I believe I've updated the website with all the dates. I'll check first thing tomorrow. But I didn't know if anybody wanted to include this the next monthly newsletter article would be due this Friday. I'd be happy to throw in this. Otherwise, I think Luis has got a queue of things that I've got ready to go at a moment's notice. So, yeah.
Yeah, I second this. I think, I don't know, maybe we can all pitch into something, or Seth or Luis can just write something up. But also, I feel like for next year, it's kind of like for this year. But to highlight these students that go to the United Nations Climate Conference, especially if and when they're River Forest, but I feel like Oak Park and River Forest are so close together. And then by chance, plugging, every year they do a live stream, so plugging.
Right now.
Right now. The next 2 weeks it ends. I don't remember the date. But yeah, they're there for the first week, usually every year.
So this is actually the December newsletter, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
It just, it would be really nice for Jamie to be part of this because she was so instrumental in having it all.
And I can email her tomorrow. She did say, okay, please assign me anything.
Okay. I mean, if she feels like she could do it, I'd be happy to work with her on it. I mean, I could make that time, but I just think that she should be part of it.
Yeah. So I might just shoot her an email and then copy you on that.
You could
that
copy me, yeah.
Then let you two coordinate. And then, Friday is when I'd need it. By. And then I've got, I actually really like one of these like long shots where it's the whole row of the stack with you guys standing at the end. Yeah. I was thinking that would be like sort of the prime picture to go with the article.
full glam.
Yeah.
Well, if you have deniers, I don't know if you have any pictures of it, but the showing the pile at the beginning and then the sorted. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
This. Before and after.
I had the one item I wrote like last year. The Christmas one.
Oh,
was that
yes.
a long one or a short one? I don't know.
I would need to dig through it.
Might be a long one. Yeah. So the one about the Japanese cloth wrapping and the renting Christmas trees.
Yes.
I think that's a long one.
I have it saved further back, but I can do that. And then
I'd really like December.
So
like,
I'll run that for December. And then next week we were planning on just talking in depth about communications for the bulk of next year. So we can sort of put this off for 1 month and then have a big blast come January 1st when everyone's got all their extra cardboard boxes.
Well, that'd be a good time to do that.
Plastic waste and
right.
Aluminum cans, depending on how the holiday went.
Well, you know what? Let me go back and take a look at that article to see if there's anything I want to change, because I remember learning more about wrapping paper that wasn't recyclable and stuff. And I don't know if I threw any of that in, but.
And I can send you one. I think I did it the previous year. So I can send in if you want to pick up anything from that.
Okay. That yeah. You need it. You said
Friday.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take a look at it tomorrow.
All right. Moving on. I do not want to spend too much time on this issue, but brought the leaf blower recommendation to the board. It was met with a lukewarm at best response. Asked me to look into what other communities have done. I wrote up a memo. I sent you guys a whole bunch of extra stuff. Didn't want to include it all in the packet, but I did send the chart sort of breaking down what these other communities have. I did talk to the Lucy, the sustainability commissioner at Wilmette. She actually had a lot of great feedback. So they had already had a seasonal ban in place, and her recommendation was basically they had said that they and all these neighboring communities basically formed this North Shore working group. So it's not just one of them going out on a limb, sort of like Evanston had done. And a lot of them already had these seasonal bans in place, and you've seen a lot of them making the transition to this sort of 1 month spring window, 2 month fall window. She had recommended the sort of May 15th to September 30th is where they had all sort of landed for that first step past the status quo before eventually transitioning to that. And then none of them have got to a potential 10 month ban, which was sort of the fourth tier of it that they had spelled out in their memo. And I did include the executive summary in there. Couple big points she did make, just to have sort of long enough of a lead time to prepare people. And since a lot of them had already had something on the books for years and years, they were able to do it in just this 1-2 year from passage to implementation. And then she had said the citation portion was a big thing of what they were doing of, if it's a landscape company that's using the leaf blower, it's not the individual worker or the property owner that's cited, it's the company. Mm-hmm. And then she said that anyone, whether it's a resident using their own gas leaf blower or a landscape contractor, you can have your first fine waived, just thrown out, if you show proof of purchase that you've then gone out and bought an electric leaf blower. So yeah, I wanted to just sort of bring all this feedback back to you for any further discussion. But basically, the board is looking for a seasonal ban at some sort of phase in. Mm-hmm.
Are there conversations at C4 addressing this? Or?
So I've had conversations with people at C4. They have been more so into like the advocacy talking points, sort of community grassroots development. They did share a couple of things with me. So Riverside is also looking into a ban. There's from the draft that I was shared through C4 would go into effect 2026, and it would only be the months of July and August. So it's basically just a 2 month ban.
Only ban in July.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and there's not too much leaf blowing in the winter. So
yeah. And then the other thing they shared that they were wanting to look further into, and they're looking a lot of things through a particularly social equity lens, is I guess there is a bill in New Jersey. It would be statewide, and it gets into a lot of details of like 2-stroke versus 4-stroke areas that are zoned industrial can continue to use it. Gas powered ones longer, but they can only use a certain type, and, all of these things that I think were a little broader than what we needed as a small
community,
almost entirely residential community. But that was, you know, one of the things they're looking at. And they said they hope down the road to sort of have a policy toolkit, is I think how they worded it, but that they were still in the very early stages of that. And in all honesty, like the North Shore communities, there's, you know, they're all very demographically, socioeconomically similar. Here it's, you know, River Forest, Oak Park, Riverside, Brookfield are, and then a lot of the other communities are not the same. I remember, you know, one of the C4 green landscape groups, one of the guys, one of the Proviso Township Park districts, like laughed at the thought and was like, no, we don't use leaf blowers, we use rakes. Like,
exactly. Well, that's my whole
better for
yeah. Yeah, that's my whole point, that, you know, we're the communities that you mentioned, we're the offenders in this area. Like, they're, you know, these people saying we couldn't possibly go through the day in June on a leaf blower. It's like, well, then use a rake, you know. It's like, well, I think we should just let this all simmer and set. But, you know, just highlighting the, I don't know who, I know some of you listened in for the discussion, but they thought the noise ordinance would be impossible to enact, what do you say?
Enforce.
Enforce. And so, you know, just really didn't have any teeth in it. And I think another thing is in our conversations, we hopped back and forth a lot between summer months where, you know, this is a real problem and, you know, fall, spring, where I think we're all in agreement. They have more of a point and maybe at least to get a little bit more set and something a little stronger in effect for what we could delineate a season of a little more quiet, a little lower emissions.
I listened to it and my big takeaway was everyone's in violent agreement that we're going in this direction, but they're really looking for the, you know, pin on the calendar that says when, right? That's how I took it. So, and I don't think anyone here would disagree with that other than we kind of struggle with when is the right place to put that pin. You know, because we had, you know, the one trustee, I won't say names, you know, kind of cherry pick one or two comments from the survey you did, Seth. But when the folks that came in and sent us letter, and these were the big guys, right? I mean, I got one from Kelty and someone else signed on the bottom of it. And we had McAdams there, two of the biggest ones here, and residents here, by the way.
And I think Mann was the other one who had signed on. He was the gentleman who spoke the longest at the first meeting.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, they're the ones saying, this fruit just isn't right for us yet. And so it's not just the little guys that are doing the complaining. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't disagree with it. We need to put a point out there to say, this is it. And the problem I have is that, you know, I probably read too much. So I keep up on some of this technology and I don't see anything in the next 2 years that's going to change anything, you know. So just a matter of saying, okay, when do we want to put it out there and maybe force the issue? The other point, and they did, they're sharp to pick up on this, is, you know, our survey is, they kept asking Seth, is this statistically valid, right? Significant.
Well,
how do you know? You don't know really who responded and all that, but if you just look at it on a raw percentage, it's less than 1.5% of the adults, right, responded to that. So it's a very, very small survey. And so we don't really have this overwhelming. That's why I asked you about what kind of complaints do we have? Anything.
And yeah, I started to look into that. So our code enforcement official, or building and zoning inspector, he is on vacation this week. So the person who would have the sort of immediate access to that, I don't have, but like talking with Matt, the village administrator, it's more so been just sort of general resident things. And most of those, I would say, get forwarded along to me. And by most, I mean like the, you know, I think I said four or five to you. I mean, maybe half a dozen since I've, a little over that since I've started working here, but of just general resident complaint, not sort of specific leaf blower usage, but when are we going to ban leaf blowers sort of thing.
Okay. Is that something they can, I mean, they log that, Seth, in a way that you can run reports and stuff on it? That'd be really interesting to see what is the community complaint about. Just peeling, kind of like these guys here, you know, just peeling out the stuff that applies to us.
I would need to look into that in terms of things that like go to like the official code enforcement citation process. I mean, that is all logged and I can probably get reports on that and then sort of filter it out to like noise complaints. And then that would be the one thing I would need to look at. And I would probably need to work with Christian once he's back to sort of, so I'm not just sort of teaching myself how to weed through all the data on my own, whereas he's probably more.
I've got a comment to make, but before I do, I'll just share a musing little thing that this morning at 10 minutes to 8, I didn't have a good night last night. I didn't get a lot of sleep. So I was kind of out of it. And I hear this noise. Now it's McAdam, as it happens. I'm not picking on them, but they do our property and they do Windsor House, which is behind us. And I'm right on the alley. And I hear this, you know, and I'm pretty sure, and I'm trying to go, what the heck is that noise? Because I was happy. Yeah. And it was them out there, you know, with a bunch of guys, I'm sure, blowing stuff. And I'm going, wait a minute, can they do that before 8 o'clock? What time are they supposed to start? Can they start at 7?
7 on weekdays, 8 on Saturdays, and they're technically not supposed to do it on Sundays.
7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's my bad for not being awake. What I was going to say was, you know, it's fine to look at what everybody else, what the other villages are doing, okay? And you say, wow, all right, well, we're right in there with what people are doing, and this is reasonable and all that. But there's something that doesn't show you. It doesn't show you the effect of whatever ordinance they put in place. Are there people going out of business? You know, are there people that are pulling out, like that one smaller lady that spoke at one of the meetings and said they're not doing business in Oak Park anymore because they can't, you know, they can't manage it. I don't know what other kind of side effects there might be, but I think you have to look at more than, you know, what the majority of villages are doing. Yeah. And how long have they had these things in effect? How long does it take for some kind of, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, I'm just saying there may be negative side effects. How long have these villages had, like Evanston, how long have they had their complete ban in place? And is anybody looking at the unintended side effects of these ordinances?
No.
I know, I'm a little bit the naysayer. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but, you know, when the equipment costs three times as much, and by having seasons, then they've got to have both kinds of equipment. Now, the seasonal thing is good. I think that's a good way to ease into it. But boy, there's a real cost there, because now they've got to have both gas blowing equipment and electric equipment.
Yeah, your thoughts.
And rakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, I think I kind of said this last month, but I guess I don't
they should get out
find a real compelling like justification for the summer months when it's like, what are you blowing? Like, what is the necessity that you're blowing? Exactly. You know, we all know there's a external impact to everyone else in the community from the noise, from the pollution, but there's not leaves. I'm presuming you're blowing clippings and you're generally kind of cleaning twigs that fall off, but it's like,
well, it's ridiculous
to me. Yeah.
I used to live on a block where we're the only people that mowed our own lawn. Okay. And they come out and they're sitting there blowing for 20 minutes, almost nothing. There's little bits of grass on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. It's absurd.
Yeah.
But that gets better. And I agree. I mean, I use a broom and a rake, but I do my own. But it gets back to, I think you brought it up, you know, call it greasing the skids or whatever you want to call it. It's the expectation of their customers, right? That's why they do it. And so, I mean, I'm certain they're willing to stop doing it. But what's the customer expectation? And when you look through, you know, the data we got back from our limited survey, it wasn't strongly supportive of this. I pulled some numbers, but, you know, somebody who said that the biggest population of it said, I'm a little concerned about the environmental effects. 75% of them said, don't do anything. No. So, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned, but no, I don't want to change it. It's not enough to change. So it gets back to that customer expectation. So I think as Louise, you raise this question. So part of what I think we got to be doing is somewhat greasing the skids on these kinds of things to the community to say, look, these things are, you know, one, it's costing you money to do it. Plus, beyond that, it's harmful to the environment. Now, how many people after not going to get a policy?
Well, maybe the thing we could do here is, if you're going to talk about education and changing people's attitudes toward recycling or anything else, how about working on changing their attitudes as to what their yard should look like?
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what we started doing with the leave the leaves. And
exactly.
Yeah. And that's, but
yeah.
I think it's hysterical that they blow the leaves all over the place. Then they pay somebody to bring compost in to amend their yard.
It is.
Use the darn leaves.
Yep.
That's the best possible.
It is.
I mean, so I don't know if we want to be the, you know, kind of the autocratic prophets here to say, okay, let's just put the pin out here. And because if people aren't willing, and maybe most people are just kind of immune to it, aren't going to pay attention, don't really care one way or the other. So, I mean, that's one way to find out is to take a position and see what comes back.
Well, that's what I had hoped, that the, you know, putting this available on the website so residents could choose, that then they would, you know, they would choose in that way and we'd have more information. But the Board of Trustees seemed very unimpressed.
So here's a thought. Now, this is just maybe totally crazy, but getting down to the pocketbook, what if, this is a fantasy, but what if landscapers had two pricing plans? The one where they clean it within an inch of their life, like right. they do now, and one where they do it
in a more environmental
natural
way. And maybe that is something that we could work with. You know, you said that there's representative from McAdams on that, just to say, you know, let the client decide, you know, do they want this pristine? There's not a blade of grass in my yard, or I'll take another one for a lower price. Cause they're using cost as an argument, but I mean, for a long time, I didn't use a landscape because I was like, I don't want that. I don't want that aesthetic. And it was only when I found someone who used all electric and, you know, sort of a little bit more calm, I'd say like, okay. And there might be other people like me that they just think that there's only one product out there. Because I think if we could get more push from the citizens to say like, we don't even want that. And, you know, and I think a piece of that, and it's hard to believe that people care zero about this, but when you talk about the particulates flying, this is really bad for the people who are behind these, you know, two-stroke blowers all day. It's really, really bad for their health. And I think we should care at least a little bit about that. So, yeah. You know, I
don't think we need to do anything overtly there. I think that becomes what they do from a business standpoint. You know, when you know Bob McAdams was here, he said, I think we asked him, so what have you done in Oak Park so far? And he said, well, I haven't changed rates there yet because I've absorbed it. But as more and more communities come on board, obviously he can't do that. Because right now, so in other words, he's spreading the costs every place. But as everyone starts to migrate to that, then obviously it starts to...
But we're seeing something else. We're asking them to provide two different products, which are in an environmental one and a more environmentally aware one, and letting the customer choose. So they're saying we can't afford to replace all those things. Well, maybe they don't need to replace it because that's not the standard.
I understand, but do you think that's the jurisdiction of this committee here is to lay out kind of business options for these companies to provide?
So maybe not lay out, but
McAdam has chosen to work with C4, and he has said that he wants to be a part of the process. And I think this is in the spirit of including them in the process.
And yet, they don't have a product that I'd like to buy. Now, I want to switch landscaping companies, okay? Because I've had some issues with them. And I'd like to also find somebody that fits more my sustainable thought process. For a condo building, that's impossible. You've got to go with the Kelties and the McAdams.
I know this is small scale, but I think one thing you can do is you can reach out to them and say, this is what I want. Is this a product you would consider offering? Because, you know, I think you have to go at them from all sides. You have to have people saying, we're tired of the noise. We're tired of the pollution. We're tired of the harm this is doing to, you know, to the workers. And then work with them and say, you know, we understand and are sympathetic to the fact that this is expensive and we don't want to dictate it, but you need to come up with another solution. And this is one, but we're happy to hear your other ideas too.
Well, what if, I mean, I know we've talked to landscapers before about, you know, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing, but why not go at it from the other side? Why not invite them in, maybe a separate meeting or a focus group, if you want to call it that, and talk about a more sustainable way, you know, this idea of maybe a separate program. We're not dictating, but we're saying, hey, maybe this is a different way to go at it. Because I agree, in the summer, they shouldn't have to use a blower, but they blow every single time. And I laugh because I'm sitting there raking my lawn, and I could rake and I had a great big 100-year-old tree in front of my house, and I could rake the whole thing faster than they were. Because they're blowing, and there's a little thing over here, and then they're blowing it in another direction because it's not off the sidewalk, and it's ridiculous.
All right, I think we should let this all percolate because we have to finish up our meeting on time.
It's okay.
Yeah, Seth, when do you think we owe something to back to the Board of Trustees? Because we're in year two.
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. So we've only got, I believe, one meeting this month for the Board of Trustees, and then I think only one meeting next month as well. So I'll talk with Matt tomorrow and get a better time frame on that, and then we'll keep talking.
Is C4 meeting within the next 2 months?
They've got monthly meetings, so I don't know.
Does this come up every time, or is this
it's different topics each month?
Okay.
So, I'll need to touch base just sort of separately with C4 staff actually tomorrow. I'll just give them some updates on where everything's at and see if they've got any further input and assistance they can give.
Right.
Couple quick things on the forestry stuff. We had talked last time on working through the tree preservation, tree cutting ordinance. We do have something that's actually in our zoning code. It only applies to government, commercial, and institutional properties over, I think it's like 5,000 square feet is what it says, with the, it's basically like all of the different ordinances we saw. Working with our staff to sort of narrowly apply it to single family residential, basically looking at oaks and elms are the trees, especially healthy elms, which there are unfortunately not many of anymore. Are something pretty crucial and critical to the area. And then obviously this is, oaks are native to the area. They're massively environmentally beneficial. There are some sort of planting and landscaping things. So I might just have us talk through this more next month, because there were several recommendations with that. Ben gave me a lot to think about with his presentation today. So I might be coming at you with more of that next month. But I did get, using one of Susan's old monthly news articles, a draft guide to trees page up on our website. So it's hidden, but it's live. I did catch one typo in the printed out copy that I have since corrected, but basically outline all the benefits and good that trees does, which is fully plagiarized from you, Susan. And then
you included the tree tool, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. And then link to resources. So there's MWRD, free native oak saplings, Morton Arboretum's Northern Illinois tree species list, which really gives very like comprehensive chart guide of like, should this go in a residential yard? Should this go in a parkway? Should this go under utility lines? How quick will it grow in the first 10 years? All of this information for residents looking to select a species to plant.
Which is also available as a hard copy at Village Hall, isn't it?
I believe so.
I think I saw one there recently.
The U.S. Forest Service Tree Owner's Manual, which gives advice literally for tree care through the entire life cycle of a tree. This was the most updated version. I think it was most recently updated in 2021. And then the iTree Tools, My Tree app specifically. I did link to the greater iTree Tools community benefit one at the top, and it specifically shows the river forest benefits. And then the app that where people can enter their own trees that they have in their yard and see all the benefits they are gaining from what they even currently have. So I didn't know if anybody had any additional things to throw in, any edits you wanted to make. I did put a printed out copy. And again, there was one minor typo somewhere in here where I think it was this species or one of these that it was like, and one of the words that ended in an S, there was a period and then another S after it, but I corrected that. That's what I've got there. And then
it looks good.
Yeah. And then I know we were planning to talk transportation this month. We're already getting to 8:30.
I know. We gotta pull that one.
Talk
okay.
Communications and resources next month. So I think we might double up and not have, hopefully, not have as much leaf blower talk next month, so we can Yeah.
Snowblower talk.
I did include the transportation memo for you all. You'll have another month to read through and digest that. I had basically Frankenstein together some stuff from previous memos. But we can look into that, dedicate time to that sort of right after commissioner updates next month, unless you had something quick you wanted to dive into. Now I know we're at 8:30 exactly.
I mean, I wanted to close out with one thought.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That some, you know, some people might be feeling a little less optimistic this month than they were last month about, you know, environmental policy and this, you know, the whole sustainability movement in this country. And I think the two things I would say to that is that, one, I think it highlights the importance of what we're doing, and that this work has to move to the cities and the states in order to move it forward. So that's the first piece. So I think, you know, in terms of the good news is that our job is the same. It's just more important now. And so we have to just keep doing what we're doing and, you know, work harder and smarter and bigger. And then the second one is just, it's a climate communicator, activist, scientist that I follow. Her name is Catherine Hayhoe. And she has an image, which I just like to hold in my mind, which is, she said, you know, a lot of times it feels like we're pushing this huge boulder up over a hill. And she said, but the boulder has crossed over the top of the hill and it's on its way down. And there are a million hands on it, you know, all over the world, where it caught them, you know, and everywhere else. And gravity is on our side now, and cost structures are on our side and everything else. So everything might feel, you know, they're very bleak at this point, but we are, you know, 8 years further out than where we were at the beginning of, you know, the last term of this president. And things have really changed, and they've largely changed because of what's happened over, you know, the last 8 years. So I think there's still a reason for optimism. This is not exactly a silver lining, but it's you know, we need to keep working, and we need to keep working together, and just getting better at what we can do. And I think we're in a good position to do that, but it's going to take more communication, which is, you know, what we're doing next, and why it was so important to hear from Ben, and what everybody is doing, because we have to learn from each other and get smarter and better and do it cheaper. So that's my final.
I just took a real quick look at the article.
Yep.
It's fine. I did include what I meant to, so you can use it just as is.
All right. Yeah, and I think you had submitted that with the initial sort of website revamp and all of the communication stuff we had talked about at the beginning of the year. So I've got it saved somewhere, I know. Oh, yeah.
Manolo,
that'd be perfect.
Go ahead. I'm sure we have a minute.
Oh, I met your favorite person in Egypt. She's also my favorite person. You guys should all love Catherine.
That it?
I think that's it. So yeah, we will plan to talk transportation issues and resources and communication as they both relate to community survey and the UIC climate plans at next month's meeting. And I will try to not add too much else to the agenda for next month's meeting. yeah, with that, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Vizi?
Yes.
Commissioner Mezzatesta?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
All right. We are adjourned at 8:34.